Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you plan for us, no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is written within my heart. I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips as you know, O Lord. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your love and your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your mercy from me, O God. May your love and your truth always protect me, for troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased, O Lord, to save me. O Lord, come quickly to help me. All who seek to take my life, may they be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say it to me, aha, aha, be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation always say, the Lord be exalted. Yet I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. O my God, do not delay. Amen. This well-known and much-loved psalm is a psalm of two halves. In the first 10 verses, there's a description of God's salvation in the past. And then in the last verses, from verse 11 to 17, there is a prayer for God's help in the present. The first half recalls how David found himself in a hopeless place, sinking in a boggy pit. As this psalm is part of a quartet of psalms dealing with guilty suffering, David was there because of sin in his life. Unable to climb out for himself, in his helplessness, David turned to God and waited for him to act. And stage by stage, God rescued him. First, he heard David's cry. Then he stooped down and hauled him out of the muddy hole into which his sin had got him. Then God set David securely on solid ground. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, he writes in verse 2. Out of the mud and mire, he set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. This experience of God's salvation impacted David's life. It led to fresh praise to God, verses 3 and 4. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. It led to revitalized worship in verses 5 to 7. It led to committed obedience, verses 7 to 8. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is written within my heart. And it led to renewed witness to others, verses 9 and 10. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your love or your truth. All this reminds us not to get the cart before the horse. David does not praise, worship, obey, and witness in order to earn God's salvation. Rather, he praises, worships, obeys, and witnesses as a result of God's salvation. His life is grace-motivated, not performance-driven. All this is reinforced, by the way, Psalm 40 verses 6 to 8 specifically, and Psalm 40 verses 9 and 10 generally are used in the New Testament. Specifically, the writer of Hebrews puts the words of Psalm 40 verses 6 to 8 into Jesus' mouth as he comes into the world. He came to obey God by going to the cross and dying for our sins. Although he doesn't specifically quote it, generally the writer of Hebrews uses the ideas behind Psalm 40 verses 9 and 10 as a pointer to Jesus' resurrection and ascension. God saves his people through Jesus alone, and his salvation then results in a life of praise, worship, obedience and witness. However, Psalm 40 has no "and they all lived happily ever after" ending, because in verse 11 it takes a strange turn, going from the high of verses 1 to 10 to the low of verses 11 to 17. Why this downward shift from a description of God's salvation in the past to a prayer for God's help in the present? Well, it's there to remind us, and we constantly need to be reminded of this, it's there to remind us that our lives are not always straightforward. Life is not a smooth path from one victory to another. Sin reappears. Situations that need God's help return. Sometimes they come out of the blue. Pressures resurface. This is normal Christian experience. However, our experience of God's help in the past, verses 1 to 10, encourages us to trust God for help in the present, verses 11 to 17. We look back at what God has done for us, not to wallow in nostalgia about the good old days and wish we were still there, but to realize that the Lord, who has been our deliverer in the past, still cares for us and will deliver us again in the present. We need to remember what Romans 8:32 says, that God, who did not spare his own son in the past, but gave him up for us all, how will he not graciously give us all things in the present? Let's pray for a moment. Our gracious Father, you did not spare Jesus your Son, but gave him up to death on the cross to redeem us from the pit of sin and death. May we continually acknowledge your mercy towards us by living lives of praise, worship, obedience and witness. When life is challenging, when temptations assault us, when pressures to compromise and stray away from you resurface, when the difficulties we face seem insurmountable, when we are afraid and uncertain, help us to remember that in the ministry of your Holy Spirit in us, you have given us all the resources we need to live lives that glorify you and display the transforming power of the gospel. So hear us, O God, for the sake of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.